I mean, you see good things out of Lincoln Keenholz, and then you'll see, you know, pass that he wishes he had back. And then you'll see some good things out of Julian Sain, and you'll see the same thing. And that's what, right now, to my eyes, like, to find a discernible difference has been very tough. Neither one of those guys have actually kind of just hit this job. And that's why this week I'm very anxious to see what practice is going to look like.
Bobby Carpenter, former Ohio State linebacker, now with a fan in Columbus, and the Bobby Carpenter Show, joining us earlier this hour. And it is interesting, this quarterback, Brouhaha, which it looked like it was rigged for Julian Sain.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, Lincoln Keenholz has stuck around. It almost reminds me of 2 years ago when Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, that thing came down to the wire, and I think it was like hours before the Akron game that Ryan Day was like, well, Kyle's the starter, kind of. I hope it's not that case, because in a way, I think this we saw with Kyle McCord. Kyle had a rocky year as a starter before going to Syracuse and having that success. I think it's telling. I think it's more telling about Julian Sain and maybe the fact that he's still a very young quarterback than it maybe is this great and maybe a big send-up of Lincoln Keenholz.
It for sure has to be. I thought it was Sain's job and that was it. Like, I thought it was basically done. And now we have a quarterback competition and just an odd situation with Ohio State.
Well, and remember, they did have Air Nolan as well for a year. And then when Air left, I thought it was because the coaching staff went and said, listen, it's Julian Sain's team and Keenholz is the backup. I thought that's how it kind of went down. But listen, I just think it's interesting. Like, I think this probably wouldn't have hurt you as bad last year because you had so much talent. I mean, if Sain or Keenholz is not ready to step right in and perform, I think that's going to be really, really interesting for a team that, I mean, I think they lost 25 to 30 guys through either through either the draft to the NFL in general, or just to they'd exhausted their eligibility.
So I was listening to Sark the other day. He did one of those interviews, and he was just talking about the idea that, like, the Texas-Ohio State game, it doesn't matter as much as it typically would. And that's like, it's an obvious thought now with college football and the landscape, but it does make me wonder within this process, like, will Ryan Day feel like the quarterback he has for week one has to be the quarterback the entire time, or is it going to be the type of thing where he even thinks it's fluid?
Yeah, and I think, man, if you're juggling quarterbacks going into that game, I don't know how you're going to win.
I mean, because it used to be, you know, 3-4 years ago, if you played Texas out of the reason why they wouldn't play juggernauts out of the chute is because if you lost that game, there was your whole season,
yep.
And you had no chance to even rebound. It just was what it was, and it's just not the repercussions for it anymore. Like, it hurts, it stings, but with the playoffs, you can easily still get in.
So to draw a corollary between this year's Browns and this year's Ohio State team.
Yeah.
Last year was so hard to enjoy the Browns season because you had the Deshaun Watson thing hanging over your head. I kind of felt like the Ohio State thing, I thought the Ohio State season was really tough to get behind simply because it was a zero-sum game. I mean, there were people suggesting if Ryan Day doesn't get, after losing to Michigan, if Ryan Day doesn't win a national championship, he's going to be fired. And I don't definitively know that they were wrong.
No, there was more people than not saying that.
So
after the Michigan game, I thought it was an all but conclusion. And the only thing he had to save him was winning the national title.
So I look at it now and I'm like, well, you're kind of like Michigan last year, where there's just no pressure. Everyone knows that this is a young team. This might be building towards the year after. And the best part about that is you can really surprise people if you just end up being a playoff team and national contender this year as well.
Yeah, I just thought with Moore and that Michigan team, though, even though I think Michigan fans knew what was coming, but I don't think many people thought it was going to look the way that it did for Michigan. And so I think that'd be a massive surprise if there was a comeback down.
Yeah, well, okay, what's a comeback down?
Well,
like,
so
if they're the 11th
it
best team.
It definitely can't be what Michigan was.
Well, yeah, okay, where you looked like non-competitive in certain games.
Yeah, where you struggled to get to 500.
But, like, let's say they don't win the Big Ten, which they didn't last year. Let's say they're a 10-win team and sneak into the playoffs. And maybe win a playoff game. Yeah, is that not a huge success after what they put in the NFL?
Of course it's a huge success. And that's why Ryan Day now has a little bit more room that he can play with. But I think how it looks matters as well. Does Penn State look drastically better than you this season?
Yeah.
That'd be a real problem for Ohio State fans.
Well, it's interesting. I think the quarterback thing might matter as much as anything. Just because they finally got the quarterback machine back on track. I mean, they took Will Howard to being a guy that chose another year in college football over going into the NFL draft out of Kansas State.
Yeah.
And they did get him drafted. And so it's not quite Justin Fields and C.J. Stroud over a three-year period where you had two guys who went in the top 11. But, like, whoever wins this job, whether it's Julian Sayin, Lincoln Keenholz, the next guy kind of has to continue that trend of putting quarterbacks into college, because I think that was really good for Ryan Day's rep.
Sure, but here's why I feel like it won't matter as much as maybe people think it will right now. And hey, listen, it's going to matter who they choose ultimately and that quarterback rises to the top. But kind of like what happened last year, you have the best player in college football on your team.
Yeah.
Like, Jeremiah Smith is a cheat code, and he's so rare and he's so gifted that you should look at that like it's almost unfair to even have somebody at quarterback and expect them to do anything but succeed in a big time way. But like, the reality is you can, because the wide receiver is so good.
Well, but here would be my rebuttal. Four or five starters on the offensive line have changed. You've got a new offensive line.
And offensive line was a problem last year too at certain points.
And somehow they still
ended up winning the
drafted.
National title.
And, well, okay.
But like, we talked about the right tackle situation, we talked about the left tackle situation.
But you had
often throughout last season.
But you had Travion, Quinshon, and Jeremiah, and Emeka Ibuka, and, oh gosh, their tight end,
Well,
G. Scott.
People act like Ibuka was like some, like, also ran. He was the first round pick to the Bucks this year.
Yeah, he was a top 20 pick.
Like, it was insane.
Well, but I think, like, that's where it's like the quarterback does matter more this year. So if this quarterback can't live up to what Will Howard did last year in a just shut up and don't screw it up roll, dummy. I think there's just a lot of – you're kind of playing with mercury on offense, and that's before you get to a brand-new defense, and you're swapping out most of your starting defensive line.
And new defensive coordinator on top of it.
Yeah. And by the way, I think Matt Patricia's going to be fine, but first-time defensive coordinator in college football.
Has he retired the pencil behind the ear yet or no?
I don't think so. I think I saw a picture of him with the pencil.
Wait, is it skinny Matt Patricia now, too?
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not
a little awkward
Patricia.
For me, too. Yeah, I think like a year ago or so, I don't know if he got on Ozempic or what happened, but Matt Patricia just started like looking in shape, and it was odd to me.
I mean, in fairness, he had a lot of time.
Is that what it was?
He wasn't doing a lot.
You think he finally slowed down
after
didn't have employment?
Latest firing in New England?
And it was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get healthy.
I think he got like a 3-year deal. I think he was just like, you know what? Let's just I'm gonna start taking some laps here.
I don't think he had like that skeleton Ozempic face.
No, that's true.
So
no,
it could have been natural. Yeah, it could have been
looks
natural.
Good.
Yeah,
kind of looks like our boy Fink.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like it. I always thought they looked similar. Anyways,
my buddy, he's got a baby face though.
Yeah. Oh, Patricia kind of does. If you take the beard off, he's got a baby face.
I
got
to see skinny Patricia again, because it was like a year ago that I saw the one photo and I was like, oh no, it looks weird. You ever have anybody in that like where they're a large human and then they get relatively skinny and it just doesn't seem right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's my great fear for me. That's why I stay fat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, that was a joke. I'm well aware that was a joke, but is that actually a fear that you have? I always thought it was really unfortunate for people that are larger that then get skinny and it looks worse.
No, I actually fall into the Will Sasso joke. Will Sasso had a great bit on Mad TV after the first time he lost all the weight. He looked like a completely different person. And the bit on the show, one of the few good Mad TV bits, by the way, where he was like, where people, like, he was telling the same jokes and people were like, yeah, you're just not, it's not hitting the same way.
It didn't hit.
No, it's just not as funny. Like,
what
something's
an unfortunate
different here.
Thing. Yeah.
And so the bit, obviously, for those of you who haven't got it yet, the bit obviously is, he's not as funny because he's not fat anymore.
What would you have to do in that? You have to go back to being fat. That's your livelihood that's on the line.
I don't know. I think I might just live longer.
Yeah.
Maybe become like an accountant.
Well, or you could make like millions for X amount of years or whatever and have your success. And then at like 50, just be like, all right, now I have to lock in.
But specifically, just real quick to get back to the quarterback spot, I think it is a big deal that we don't know who the quarterback is yet. And I mean, labeling them as the second best team in the country going into the football season, to me, feels unfair for what I think is going to be a really good but maybe not truly great elite championship powerhouse best team in the country kind of team.
It also feels, I want Ohio State to win week one mindset, it feels awful to have what might be a generational quarterback, the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman, what is supposed to be one of the best college football players of the past 20 years in Arch Manning, up against a we don't know who our answer is.
Yeah, I'd prefer to be like the 7th-ranked Buckeyes here. So you could sell the point of like, man, they're sleeping on you. All they do is they love on the Longhorns, and now here you go. Nobody's believing in you, Ohio State, as a seventh-ranked team in the country.
Yeah, people typically don't believe in first-time quarterbacks anyway in college football.
The Lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.